Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the 3 o'clock hour, and so it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Today, we're joined by a very special guest hailing from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, where he served as their representative in Congress for 11 years. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show to Congressman Mark Pocan. Welcome, Mark. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Well, thanks, Maggie. Glad to be on.
You are a small business owner, a union member, and an advocate for progressive causes and policies that help promote both economic and social justice. I always like to say you can't have social justice without economic justice. You're also chair of the Equality Caucus. You're co-chair of the Labor Caucus and chair emeritus of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. We're going to talk today about what's at stake for Wisconsinites in this upcoming election. And so let's start with the one thing that's on everybody's mind, and that's the cost of living, whether we're talking about housing or childcare or groceries and everything in between. Both Donald Trump and Vice President Harris have talked a lot about what their plans are to make living more affordable for regular middle-class Americans. But there's a big gap in the potential impacts of their policies and what they're proposing. What do you see as the main differences between the two candidates' proposals?
Well, I think, you know, Vice President Harris already can point to things we've done in the Inflation Reduction Act to help lower costs for medical care and for energy, specifically, you know, negotiating for prescription drug prices for the first time ever, you know, to help bring the cost of drugs down, to cap the out-of-pocket expenses for seniors to no more than $2,000 on Medicare, to cap insulin to $35. Again, unfortunately, only for people on Medicare. We wanted to go farther. All of those things I just mentioned, by the way, Project 2025 wants to get rid of, but all things that Democrats did. Also, a number of things around renewable energy so that we don't have to rely on foreign countries and price fixing and supply fixing. So, you know, that it was also in there. But I think the issues that we hear about the most and that I think you can really compare and contrast the vice president to former President Trump is around groceries and gasoline. Both, I think, were being price gouged by big corporations. In the case of food, I think four companies account for the distribution of 65 to 70% of our grocery store food. So certainly that can lead to increased prices and corporate greed. You know, we saw what recently Walmart and Target lower their prices arbitrarily. That told us they were arbitrarily too high to begin with. And, you know, the head of the FTC, Chair Lena Khan, has been going after them specifically. Also, gasoline, same thing. Back in May, Chair Lena Khan went after an oil company executive who just sold to Exxon, who they found hundreds of communications to OPEC, a foreign entity, about supply fixing and price fixing. So Democrats are doing something about it. And then Donald Trump just says his answer for everything is tariffs. And, you know, it's kind of like a broken clock. You're right twice a day. He's right. Tariffs are helpful in certain targeted cases. When they're dumping cheap steel, we protected the steel industry here through tariffs. But throwing tariffs on everything is just stupid. And that's what Donald Trump's proposal is. It's really a tax on consumers at that point. China doesn't pay anything, like he keeps saying, just like Mexico didn't pay for the wall. China doesn't pay for tariffs. We do as consumers. So his answers are going to cost people more. Her answers are trying to bring down the costs and have fairness. And I think that's the comparison I would talk about to people.
Yeah, I think we've tried to emphasize you need to look at Donald Trump's plans as a whole. And frankly, trying to replace a progressive tax system where the rich are required to pay their fair share with tariffs that largely burden consumers, and consumers are the middle class, is, as you put it, stupid. I love it.
Yeah.
Because you're a regular guy. You say it in regular guy terms. That's just stupid. Yeah. It won't work well or at all, frankly. And the reality is we talked to Heather Cox Richardson last week on Friday, and she said, listen, we have a long history with tariffs in this country, and all it did was make the monopolists richer, right? The robber barons richer. It led to the Great Depression, which came on the heels of the Gilded Age. We don't want to go back to that. We know that these issues are sometimes complicated, but there's one thing that isn't complicated, and you referenced it, Congressman, in your prior response, and that's the corporate greed and the evidence, the very clear evidence of corporate greed that we've seen mm-hmm. again and again. How are you and the Harris campaign trying to crack down on price gouging and these monopolistic behaviors by corporations specifically?
I mean, the easiest thing is just calling them out, right? Because if they know that people are watching, they're less likely to have bad behavior. And, you know, fortunately, Vice President Harris has been doing that, as has Tim Walz. People like the chair of the Federal Trade Commission, Lena Khan, is great at what she's doing, right? And she just came through Sauk County and Dane County a couple weeks ago now. And we talked about, you know, the price gouging with groceries, with those four companies right now. A quarter of every dollar that goes to groceries in this country goes to Walmart. And then Kroger right now is trying to, you know, merge with Albertsons, which would even give people less choice and have even more increased prices. So, you know, just talking about what really is impacting what's going on, and that there was some greed coming out of COVID and people, you know, did shrinkflation and other things, you know, makes it less likely to happen. That's why Target and Walmart had a lower prices. And on gasoline, you know, it just don't elect people who, you know, like to hug oil barons, you know, at night, because, you know, Donald Trump, you know, it's like a giant, you know, oily teddy bear to him. You know, he just loves them so much. Lots of smooches and kisses. But, you know, for the rest of us, we know what they're doing. They've been impacting us, I think, since that bad weather situation about 4 or 5 years ago in Texas, where they didn't have the infrastructure and they had to close down processing. They jacked prices up at that point, and they never really brought them back down. They've just been making us get ripped off. And now when we see the correspondence between oil company executives, like the FTC exposed in May, hundreds of communications about price fixing and supply fixing, we should be mad at oil companies and not politicians or anyone else, because those oil companies are price gouging. But you should be maybe mad at the politicians who allow them to do that. And, you know, so I think there are things that we can do that are pretty easy in talking about this. And I actually saw a poll. People know that we're better at on prices than Republicans, that we are saying something, that we will go after the people who make the big profits. Where for Donald Trump, he just wants to give those people even bigger tax breaks, and hopefully they'll fill out a Mar-a-Lago membership form along the way.
Yeah, not just the politicians that sort of kowtow to big oil and the oil barons, but the politicians like Donald Trump who literally promised them to deregulate and let them run roughshod over the middle class, you know, in exchange for, I don't know, $1 billion in corporate campaign donations. The very definition of corruption. Shocking, indeed. You hit on something, Congressman, that I think is so critical, and it gets glazed over, I think, a lot. And that is that consumers, which are, again, the middle class, we are the ones that buy stuff with and use the majority of our paychecks to buy stuff, whether that's cars, housing, gas, groceries, childcare, etc., that we do best when there is healthy competition in every market. And when you see fewer businesses participating in any given market, right? The dominance of Walmart in terms of groceries, this merger of Kroger and Albertsons, the dominance of just a handful of energy companies, the dominance of just a handful of what I'm going to call information technology companies, right? Mm-hmm. This is not good for consumers. And any sort of policy that further insulates the largest corporations from competition and from regulation, which helps level the playing field for small businesses, isn't good for the middle class. Or am I getting that wrong, Congressman?
No, in fact, you take it another step further. Wisconsin, we're fortunate. We have more family farms than most states, but the corporate, you know, farms, the CAFOs that keep, you know, buying up other farmers, not only are they not as good for the land environmentally, but it jacks up prices when there's fewer of those companies rather than your family farmer, you know, someone who might be a neighbor or from your community who's helping to supply the food chain. So, you know, I think all of these need to be called out. And, you know, for people who claim that they support the free market, generally what they mean is they support the free market for them, and they're okay if they want to do consolidation and make a bunch of money. I just saw, I think it's by 2027, Elon Musk is on track to be the world's first trillionaire. Trillionaire. I've got a trillion reasons why that's a bad idea, right? And you know that. And now he's out after he said he wanted to make the platform less political. He's doing just the opposite. And we all have to read his stupid tweets because now he owns it and he can, you know, do the algorithm. So you're seeing things as he wants you to. Look, anytime you don't have competition, you're going to have people being price gouged and ripped off. And by these monopolies, it goes back, you know, Farty Bob Follett from Wisconsin was one of the, you know, people at the forefront nationally fighting this stuff. We need to keep doing it from our vantage points in Wisconsin.
Yeah, as an economist, people ask me, small business owners ask me all the time about business taxation, right, and regulation. And I said, these aren't questions about if we do this. These are questions about the right regulations, the right level of tax that brings about competition and helps support small businesses and the middle class. When the largest, most dominant, market dominant businesses avoid their fair share of tax, that's hurting small businesses because they're not competing on a level playing field. It's sort of the antithesis of capitalism, if you will, and all of that in turn hurts middle class pocketbooks.
Well, and Project 2025 wants to then lower the corporate tax rate and bring back offshore tax havens, which is something that I don't think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris got nearly enough credit for, finally going after that, where you could just have a little room in Ireland and claim that's your corporate headquarters, and all your profits from the United States are attributed to that one little room in Ireland or some other country that doesn't have a corporate tax. To bring that back is just an awful, awful policy. But, you know, Donald Trump's 140 staff who wrote the Project 2025 report, the 920 pages of it, know what they're doing.
Yeah, that alone, if you were going to vote on that idea alone, that everyone needs to pay their fair share, is enough of a justification to vote for Vice President Harris and Tim Walz. Today, our very special guest is the congressional representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He's represented the 2nd District for 11 years in Congress. His name is Mark Pocan. He's been fighting for you and your family and the middle class here in Wisconsin for his entire political career, dating back to his assembly days here in the state legislature. I thank you for that, sir, and I thank you for being here. We talk about taxes all the time on this show because, as I like to say, if you care about child care policy, you got to care about tax policy. If you want a more secure border, you got to care about tax policy. All of these things go back to where is the government getting our revenues from? So last week we had on Amy Hanauer. She is the president of the Nonpartisan Institute on Tax and Economic Policy. They just dropped a bombshell new report. It analyzed the impact of all of Donald Trump's tax and economic proposals. And what they found was that Donald Trump's proposals would raise taxes on the bottom 95% of Americans while cutting taxes for the richest 5%. And I wanted to ask you, sir, what part of Donald Trump's tax proposals are you most worried about for the people of Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I like to make people aware of Project 2025. And, you know, they're the plan that Trump's folks in the Heritage Foundation and other groups are promoting would take 7 tax brackets down to 2. And I know you're going to be shocked, but the wealthiest are going to pay less. And if you make up to $120,000 as a couple, you're going to pay more. And just that tax measure alone, not all the ones that Amy Hanover's group put together, but just that one alone will cost the average Wisconsinite about $3,100. So that is just showing you, you know, don't forget that big tax break that Donald Trump did for the wealthiest. 83% of the money went to the top 1%, and it added $7 trillion to the national debt at the same time. That's how he handles tax policy. The other thing I think it's worth mentioning just in general, and it's a little wonky, but I think it's important. Sometimes we spend money on healthcare at the federal level. Sometimes we spend money on, you know, the environment, or we spend money on, you know, veterans. Those are expenditures. When you have a tax cut, that's a tax expenditure. It's no different than money you would have spent on healthcare or something else. So I just want people to really understand that the tax breaks, especially if you're not seeing it, that's money that would have gone to education or healthcare or the veterans or whoever else. And I just, you know, tax expenditure should be in everyone's vocabulary, because it's not tax cuts. It's just, it's where you're prioritizing money. Instead of giving healthcare to everyone, you're giving tax cuts to a few.
Yeah, Mark, thank you so much for that. I rail about this all the time. I was an economist before I became a lawyer. And I say to people, it is exactly equivalent if you hand somebody a dollar to help a middle-class family afford childcare. That is exactly economically equivalent to cutting taxes by a dollar for a billionaire. It's the exact, it has the exact same impact on our federal budget and on our debt management and all those things. So let's make a value choice about what's most important to us as Wisconsinites and Americans. And I say, those are tax and economic policies that help build a stronger and frankly wealthier middle class. I heard an ad today, Representative, that said that Kamala Harris wants to raise taxes on American families. And I was screaming at the radio. That's a lie. She wants to raise taxes on people making more than $400,000 a year. I don't know about you, but that ain't me.
No. And, you know, and other things, at some point we've got to deal with Social Security.
Yep.
And right now, if you make more than, I think it's about 165, 170,000, you don't pay another dime into Social Security. It's actually a regressive tax where people who make smaller amounts are taxed and the people who make more don't get taxed beyond that $170,000. And yet, you know, that's the future of the Social Security fund right there. You could simply take care of it by having tax equity and by continuing that percent no matter how much you make. So, you know, so often, you know, next year in particular, we're going to do all the tax bills in Congress. So whoever's in charge of Congress, who gets elected on November 5th, if we pick up those four seats in the House, you're going to have Democrats as your watchdogs, the people who want to instead have us invest in expenditures to help people with childcare or to help people with health care, versus just giving it to the wealthiest, the people who just so happen to kind of belong to clubs like Mar-a-Lago. And guess who benefits? The giant orange guy. You know, that's what happens.
Him and all of his billionaire bro buddies. I mean, I don't understand it. You mentioned this about Social Security, and I would be remiss if I didn't say this in response. Hey, you want to help shore up Social Security funding? Then do what Representative Pocan just recommended, which is apply a Social Security tax for the dollars earned above $170,000 a year. Instead of having a regressive Social Security tax that penalizes folks that make less money. That's how you help shore up Social Security funding. We listened to Eric Hovde running for Senate against one of the most fierce advocates for the middle class, Senator Tammy Baldwin. And he's, oh, well, we'll just have fewer Wisconsinites receive Social Security and have them get it later. Like, wait a minute. Why not do the obvious thing that's more fair for everybody instead of providing less support for people that work for a living? Let's talk about Project 2025 briefly. When it comes to social issues, it's really scary. Are there some of the social programs or social proposals in Project 2025 that jump out to you most, Mark?
God, there's so many. It's 920 yeah. pages. Getting rid of the Department of Education is a bad idea. Getting rid of Head Start, you know, something that gives kids of lower income a chance to have an equal chance in those important years is really important. Lots of anti-diversity, equity, inclusion provisions, lots of anti-LGBTQI plus provisions. But, you know, one thing I do want to mention, it relates a little to the last. It doesn't talk explicitly about Social Security. It says it didn't have time to. But the Heritage Foundation that, you know, is the lead group behind this has proposed raising the retirement age to 69, as has the Republican Study Committee, the largest caucus in the Republican of all the Republicans in Congress.
Yes.
So when you talk about that, that's a cut because you won't get it as early. And if you're someone who's a laborer who works with your hands, you know, you're probably not going to be able to keep working, period, past that time. So I think those are provisions. And then also, real important, it wants to put everyone on Medicare under privatized Medicare. And that's an awful idea.
Representative Pocan, I would love to have you come back. There's so much we could discuss leading up to this election. Thank you on a personal note for all of your work on behalf of the LGBTQIA plus community. You are a leader and servant to the people of Wisconsin.
Thanks for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org and be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of Civic Media stations.